Beginning of Parshas Kisov, it starts off with the mitzvah of Bikurim. The Rambam and the other money on mitzvah count Bikurim as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Havalat Bikurim, one mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. Not that Mikra Bikurim is a chelik of the mitzvah B'Shleimusa. The Rambam counts it as two different mitzvahs. In fact, the Mishnah has that there are some people, Eilam Avim V'Einam Karim. There are some people who bring Bikurim, who don't recite the Mikra Bikurim. Rashi quotes some of the dinim. Sometimes you may be Vienna court. Rashi quotes some of the dinim. In the Mishnah, it says that machloikas hatanan, whether a ger is made of the kori. So in the Mishnah, it says that a ger is made of the ena kori, because he cannot say, right. He cannot say that he has come to the land. How can he say La'Avisenu if the ger is not a biological descendant of Abraham Yitzchak Yankov, the obvious of the Klali Sof? That's what it says in the Mishnah. According to that time in the Mishnah, according to the majority opinion in the Mishnah, a ger cannot say when he davens from an Esri, he cannot say L'Kenu L'Ke Avisenu L'Ke Abraham L'Ke Yitzchak L'Ke Yankov Ina. He has to change the Nusaf. The Mishnah says in Bikurim, he has to say L'Kenu L'Ke Avos Yisrael. And when he lights Chanukah candles, when he reads the Megillah, he cannot say Shasim Nisim Lavasena, he has to say Shasim Nisim Lavos Yisrael. Bayamim Harheim Basmanazim. And in the Yerushalmi, there's an opinion, there's a Braisa that quotes the opinion of Rav Yudah, who disagrees with the other Tanoim in the Mishnah. He says, no, that when Hashem changed the name of Avraham Avinu from Avraham to Avraham, and he was declared as Abraham Mongoin Nisaticho, so what does it mean? He's the father of many nations. Before, he was only the father of Klal Yisrael, Abla, the father of Aram, Abla Aram, and later he was declared as Av HaMongoy. What does it mean, Av HaMongoy? So that's what the Rambam quotes from that Yerushalmi and Bikurim. Av HaMongoy means the father for all of those who will plan to come Tachas Kamfi Ashchina. The father in the sense of a Rebbe. Like when Eliyahu Navi went up to heaven, so Elisha cried, Avi Yavi Rachmi Tzolof HaRosha. How was the Yavi? He wasn't his father biologically, but he was his Rebbe. So he called him his father. So here also, you can refer to a Rebbe as your father. If that person had so much of a hashpo on you, you refer to him as your father. So that's Lavoisenu, the obvious of the Klal Yisrael don't have to be obvious in the biological. They don't necessarily have to be obvious in the biological sense that we are biological descendants of them. Rabbi Yudah the Tana Shita is that even if any Gerim who are boim lachsas tahas kam peyashchina who decide they want to become Jewish and they convert are also considered bonim to the Yavis. Tosis in Bava Basra has a machlokes about the paskim. Whether you should paskim like the Tana and the Mishnah, that's the majority opinion, or you should paskim like the Shita of Rabbi Yudah. The Rambam has the famous pasuk. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskim like the Rabbi Yudah Shita in Yerushalmi, and that's the way it's generally assumed. The Rambam has a letter that he sent to a ger. Says that, but he has in the Yad HaChazaka he passes like that. He has a famous letter that he sent to the Ger where he explains all of this, and that's the way we pass in Allah. That's the way it's been accepted. Anyway, the Rambam counts these as two distinct mitzvahs. Even though a Ger is made of the Kore, the Rambam passes a Ger is made of the Kore, and it does say, Avakein of Lakei Avaseinu, Yitzeh Shasim Nisim Labaseinu. But still, there are still differences. Not everybody who's maybe is Kore, and not every time when you're maybe your Kore. So that's why the Rambam holds it. You can have one without the other, that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. Not such a gewaltig indication, because sometimes you have one without the other, and it means that it's a mitzvah b'shleimus, like chelus and lovan. You have chelus without lovan, so it's a mitzvah shalai b'shleimus. Chelus with lovan, so it's a mitzvah b'shleimus. But it's not always such, and the Rambam himself gives that klal in the Sefer Mitzvahs. He says, the shal yad is not mi'akev, the tefillin shal yad is not mi'akev, the shal rosh, and shal rosh is not mi'akev, the shal yad. So that's the Rambam's right, the shal yad and shal rosh are two distinct mitzvahs, but lulav and esrog and hadasim and arob, as the Mishnah says in Menachos, they're all mi'akev, zeh, zeh, dal, mi'akev, zeh, zeh. So therefore that means that it's one mitzvah. and the tzitzis, the four tzitzios in the four corners of the garment, is machlokes satanoim. So we paskin like that time in the mission that maxim says there. So therefore, it's all one mitzvah. So the Rambam says that's the klal, and he has this in the Maran Avuhum also. So philosophical klal, logical klal, like that. Whatever the things are machlokes says there means that they're interrelated. It means that it's one. Whatever they're not machlokes says there, sometimes you have one without the other. That shows that they're separate. That they're two. So just because you have, that's what the Rambam writes. So apparently that's what was the guiding principle over here that led the Rambam to assume that Havuas Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim are counted as two distinct mitzvahs. That's the question. You have exceptions to the rule. Rav Daniel Ababli sent a letter to the Rambam's son. Daniel Ababli lived in Baghdad. He was a dying in Baghdad. So he sent a letter of Allah. He sent a lot of letters to the Rambam's son, Rabbein Avram, in Egypt. He sent a letter, he gave him back an answer, then he sent another letter, back and forth, back and forth. They have all the letters printed in the back of the Sefer HaMitzvos by the Rambam. In the recent editions, it's called the Maisa Nissen. The one who paid for the publication was Mr. Nissen, a rich man, that's right. So the book is called Maisa Nissen. I remember Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he never used to read the Shabbat, so he said, he doesn't understand why it's called Maisa Nissen. He never saw any Nissen in the floors over there. It's just Lam de Shazak, and he told him, like, he doesn't understand why they called it Maisa Nissen. It says on the front page why the man who paid for the book was Mr. Nissim. So this, the Maisa Nissim has the collection of the letters that they sent back and forth of the Neil Abam. So he asked kashas on the Rambam. How did the Rambam, that was guiding principle, how did the Rambam count Tchelus and Lovan on Nat Miyakim says, so why did he count it as one mitzvah? He should have counted it as two mitzvahs and other kashas also. So that's what the Rambam has over here. These are two distinct mitzvahs. The mitzvah only begins, of course, when you have a full Kedusha Seretz Yisrael. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the full Kedusha Seretz Yisrael is the Yerishna Moshe, the Yerashta, the Yashavta Bo, Magid Shlo Neschaibu B'Bikurim Anshikov Shor Saoretz B'Chilkua. The 7 years it took them to fight all the wars, the Rishav Shekipshon and Rishav Shechilkua. We Americans who live in recent years, we never saw any wars over here, so we think that war is a terrible thing, which it is. War is terrible, a conquest is a terrible thing. But sometimes it's a holy mitzvah. The Kedusha Seretz Yisrael is only chal. Politics is terrible and dirty and nasty and everything. But there are some aspects of politics that are very holy and very important. Waging a war, if you can buy up Eretz Yisrael, if the JNF can buy up Eretz Yisrael, that's also good. It doesn't have to be dafka with blood, sweat and tears. If you can buy it up with money, it's the same thing. That's also kibush. You have to have kibush ha'aretz. You have to conquer it, so it has to be under Jewish control. You have to have chalukas ha'aretz to show that the kibush is completed. You have to have a chalukah l'shvatim. You have to have Eretz Yisrael controlled by a Jewish government, and then the kedusha is completed. If it's not, it wasn't controlled by a Jewish government, it didn't have the kedusha. They were neschaiva b'chala right away. We learned last year in the Gemara in Ksubis in the second parak and after pay. They were neschaiva b'chala right away. Mishnitn sula ha'aretz. Means there was a mitzvah kedusha saaretz right away when it came to Eretz Yisrael. Before the Yavis, from the days of the Yavis till the days of Yeshua Benun, the Gemara says there was no kedusha saaretz. It was the Eretz Hanefcheres, there was gula saaretz, there were other things, but the kedusha only began mishenichnusu Yisrael aaretz. So in the beginning of the kibush, mitchilas hakibush was when they crossed over the Yarden with Nisim and the floors, with the Oren going in front of them. It's a different kind of politics, because the Oren was going in front of them when they were fighting, so the Shechina was there in a different kind of politics. It wasn't the Kibush Ha'idei Tzahal, it was the Kibush Ha'idei Ha'orei that was Mekadesh, Baharayah, that later on, the Ba'i Sheni, it was a different Mekadesh, because there was no Oren going, it was a different Mekadesh. But still, there is politics over here. There's holy politics and there's dirty politics, two different things. So it's important to keep this in mind. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's also a mitzvah that the Eretz Yisrael should be under Jewish control. That's also a big mitzvah. You shouldn't forget that. There are people that say, look, we lived for 2,000 years without a Medina, so we can continue to live without a Medina. A body can. You can live without a Medina. You can live without Talis and Tefillin also. There are Jews who lived in Russia without the Bris Milah. You can live without a lot of mitzvahs. It doesn't mean that you're not Jewish. But you have to realize that you're missing a big chunk of the Jewish religion if you don't have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael. Just because the Jewish government is anti-religious and so on, whatever, they're not so religious, so that doesn't mean that there's nothing. It's not that it's worthless. It's not worth as much as if Rav Lezer Shach would run the government, would be better, maybe. But still, you can't say that it's worthless. It's still a Jewish government, and we're on our way. This mitzvah of Bikurim, Rashi says, only applies may reishis, v'lay kol reishis. Rashi quotes from the Gemara. It only applies to the Zayin Minim Shenishtapcha Mehem Eretz Yisrael. How do you know Zayin Minim? So Rashi says that it's quotes from the Gemara. It's Gzeira Shova that it says Nemekan Oretz V'Nemel Halon Eretz Chita Saru Gevin and Tein Avrim. It says Eretz Eretz Gzeira Shova. So that's how we know that the mitzvah of Bikurim only applies to the Shivas Aminim. We know the Shivas Aminim. Chita Saru Gevin and Tein Avrim and Eretz Eish Shem and Edvosh. There is a Dion Grady Mitzochim. There is a dion in Achrenim and Psochim in the second Perek. There's a machlekes the Marsha, the Bnei Yeshua had to read the Tosfos. When you speak of the Shivas Aminim, the Chumash only mentions Chitul Torah. What about Kusman Shibor Yeshua and Shipo? When you speak about Dogon, so there are Chameshis Minei Dogon, and the Chumash only mentions two of the Chameshis Minei Dogon, Chitul Torah. So there, there's a machloek. The Tosfos is on Lamed Vav on the days, and that's where the Marsha and the Bnei Yeshua have the machloek how to read that Tosfos. Regarding the mitzvah bikurim, machloek is achrenim and adin deraisa. Regarding the mitzvah bikurim, whether bikurim only applies to chita usora or it applies to all the chameshes minei dogon. Maybe because the Gemara says on Lamed Hey Amar Aleph, Gemara quotes a braisa from the dinim of Chala, that the Chameshis Minei Dogon basically are divided into two categories. You have Chita Sora, and all the others are subcategories of Chita, subcategories of Sora. So maybe when the Chumash the Pashup Shat, that's what I would have said, without looking into any Mashors and saying Shua, without worrying about what Taisa said. If you would have asked me, I would have said, when the Chumash says Chita Sora, it means Chita V'chol Tal Deseha, and Sora V'chol Tal Deseha, the subcategories are also included. So all the Chameshis Minei Dogon are included in the Shivas Aminim. But the Magen Avraham quotes this Shailah Ledina, Halacha Lamaisa. We have it. We don't have Bikurim. We haven't had Bikurim in a long time. The Mishnah says in the end of Shkolim, Bikurim has already been Mancha Beis Hamikdash Shaykan. It's Mancha Beis Hamikdash Kan. Even if you Mafrish Bikurim, the Mishnah says it's not Chal. Even if you Mafrish it, it's not Chal. But you're not supposed to be Mafrish it anyway. So we don't have Bikurim, but we have a different din. The Gemara has in Brachas a din of Kedima. That if you have different fruits or grains in front of you, so which one do you say the bracha on first? So the Gemara says you have to know that pasuk in Chumash. You have to know how to read it, which is closer to the word Eretz. And Eretz Kama precedes Eretz Basra. So the Magen Avraham there on that din of Kedima Bebrachas raises this question: when we speak of Chito, Eretz Chito Sora, does it only refer to Chito and to Sora, wheat and barley, or does it also refer to the subcategories of chita? So he points out that's a mashal. That's the machleg is the maharsho. He didn't have a Bnei Yeshua. Bnei Yeshua came later, but he had a maharsho. So he points out the shad of the maharsho and the others had to read that thesis. The Chumash describes the way the farmer brings the bikurim in a basket. The Mishnah says that the wealthy people brought it in a golden basket or a silver basket, and poor people brought it in a little wicker basket. So the Gemara has an expression in Gemara Bava Kama that there was a common expression that went that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So the Gemara says, what is that based on? So the Gemara says, oh, it's based on this Mishnah Bikurim that it says when the wealthy people brought their Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash in the silver basket, so the Kohen gives them back the basket. The Kohen doesn't keep the basket. But when the poor farmers brought their bikurim in the wicker basket, so then the Kohen kept the basket also. So that's the Gemara says, it's based on that din in the Mishnah that behind the Davi Inshi that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The poor man doesn't get back his basket, and the rich people do get it back. The bikurim has to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash. It's not eaten in the Beis Hamikdash. You have to do first the mitzvah of Havoas Bikurim and Hanocha Miyakeves. The Gemara has a discussion whether Tnufa Miyakeves, whether Kriya Miyakeves. What do you mean Miyakeves? The Kohen is not allowed. Bikurim is only nechel by Kohanim. So it may only be eaten by Kohanim in Yerushalayim. It's a hybrid. It's a blend of Kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni with Kedushas Truma. Bikurim is one of the four things mentioned by the Mishnah that has a Kedushas Truma. You have Truma Gedoilo, and you have Bikurim, and you have Maisa Menah Maisa, and you have Challah. And all four have a din of Truma. The Tosefta says that if a farmer is about to be mafrish all four, so he only says one bracha, Shekudisham Tassanu Allah Frashas Truma. And then he's mafrish the Bikurim, and the Truma Gedoilo, and the Challah, and the Maisa Menah Maisa. All four have a din of Truma on it. Mamashem Echot. The Mishnah says if a non-Kohen eats truma, so he gets malchus, psukim in Chumash Vayikra. So what happens if the non-Kohen eats, let's say a person eats a half a kezayis of chelev and a half a kezayis of dam. The chelev and dam are not mitztarfim zeh mzeh. In order to get malchus, you have to eat a kezayis of an itzer. Machlekes ha-tanaim, whether isurim mitztarfim zeh mzeh. A mayor is only being in the Surah Mitzvah from them, because the Pasuk says, L'Othecho Kol Tayeva, Kol Shati Abdurcha Harebe Bal Tayechol, anything that's prohibited is a general Issam, that you're not allowed to eat it, and we don't pass like that. But in order to get Malchus, you have to eat a Kazayis of Chelev, or a Kazayis of Dam, or a Kazayis of Nevel, or a Kazayis of Oif Tomei. You have to eat a Kishir, Shir Sholem of that one Issam, and the Issurim are not Mitzvah from them. So what happens is a person eats, the Mishnah has, he eats, a non-Kohen eats a quarter of a kezayis of bikurim and a quarter of a kezayis of truma and a quarter of a kezayis of challah and a quarter of a kezayis of trumas maisa and amaisa. And the Mishnah says in Krisis that this is all shame effort. It's mamish truma. The whole thing has a shame, one shame truma. So on the one hand, the bikurim has a shame truma. And on the other hand, it has a fesadin of maisa sheni to it, that it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Normal Maizu Sheni may be eaten in Yerushalayim by anybody, by any Israeli, but Bikurim may only be eaten by Kohanim. As a combination of both. There is a din that a Zar She'ochal Truma B'Shoigeg has to be Mafrish, you have to give Keren V'Chaymish to the Kohen. And the Keren has to be Dovah HaRoyli as Kodesh. If he ate tomatoes, you have to give him back so much tomatoes. If he ate potatoes, you have to give him back so much potatoes. If he drank wine of Truma, so the non-Kohen has to give the Kohen the Keren. The Chemish can be cash, but the Keren has to be Dabah HaRoi Liyos Kodesh, and it's Netach Liyos Kodesh. V'nosam HaKohen Es HaKodesh. So the Pashto says that the same applies regarding Bikurim as well. If a non-Kohen, Shoigig went ahead and ate Bikurim, so he has to be Mafrish, has to give Keren the Chemish, and the Keren has to be Dabah HaRoi Liyos Kodesh, and after he gives it to the Kohen, whatever he ate, one of the Zayin Minim, that was Bikurim, so he has to give that type of fruit to the Kohen, and it's Nepach Liyos Kodesh. The Avnei Nezer has a Shaila, when it's Nepach Liyos Kodesh, does it become like Bikurim, or does it only become like Truma? Because the din that requires that the Zar She'ochal, Bikurim, B'Shoigik, has to be Mafrish, Keren, B'Choymesh, is Mitzad the Truma Sheboi, not Mitzad the Maizah Sheni Sheboi. The Bikurim is a hybrid of Truma with Maizah Sheni, so he wants to know, when the Tzar was Ochal Bikurim B'Shoigeg and his Mafrish Peres Achem Tachem and his Nepach Liyos Kodesh, do those Peres Achem have to be eaten in Yerushalayim also? Or could they be eaten Chutz L'Yerushalayim? May they be eaten by an Oinen? The din is that Bikurim has to be eaten B'Simcha. Bikurim has to be eaten B'Simcha. An Oinen is not permitted to eat Bikurim. An Oinen is permitted to eat Truma, but an Oinen is not permitted to eat Bikurim because it has to be eaten B'Simcha. That's the Maizah Sheni aspect, Shabbat. Bikurim has a din like Maizah Sheni, which may not be eaten by an Oinen. So that's the question that the Avnei Nezer raises, and the Truvis Avnei Nezer, and Chelek Chosh Mishpat, he has, after he finishes Chosh Mishpat, so then he deals with all miscellaneous. So this is one of the miscellaneous, it's not really a Tshuva Halacha L'maaseh, it's a Birur Halacha. It tries to be Mevar based on a Tosis and the Yevamos. I don't think he really has a beer on the shayla. It's an interesting shayla. Anyway, that's the nature of the Bikurim. It's a hybrid of the two dinim. And the Pasuk says that, and the Gemara discusses how much is Ma'ake before the Kohen is permitted to eat the Bikurim in Yerushalayim, how much does the farmer have to do? He has to certainly bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. If he doesn't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, he just brings it to Yerushalayim, then the Kohen is not allowed to eat it. You don't just say, well, the farmer didn't fulfill his mitzvah, but it's still mutter for the Kohen to eat it. No, the Pasuk only allows the Kohen to eat the Bikurim after the farmer has fulfilled the mitzvah. So the mitzvah Bishlei Musa is that he has to do knufa, and he has to recite Aram Yavidov, and he has to do Hanocha, put the basket on the floor. The question is, how much of this is Ma'ake B'Riyev, that if he didn't do all of the mitzvah Bishlei Musa, then the Kohen is not even allowed to eat the Bikurim. I say that since the farmer didn't fulfill his mitzvah sufficiently, so the Kohen has no heter achilas. But the Gemara has in Makkos, in the third parak in Makkos, different opinions among the Tanaim. Exactly how much is Ma'ake. Part of what the farmer has to do is tenufa. Rashi said. How do you do Lohani Fosto? So Rashi quotes both from the Sifrei and from the Gemara. Koyim minyach yodo tachas yad ha-bailim u-meinif. So the simple reading is that the bailim holds on to the bottom of the basket, and the koyim puts his hand tachas yad ha-bailim, like this. U-meinif. Tosfos in Soito and other places has 2 days, whether that's literally, that's to be understood literally. Minyach yodo tachas yad ha-bailim. Isn't that a chatzitza? The Gemara speaks in another place of chatzitza. That if you have a few shutzim brought a carbon shlomim together, you have to do tnuf on the chaz of a shaykh. So the Gemara says you can't have one shut if Reuben and Shimon brought a shlomim together. So you can't have shutzim do the tnuf together because it's going to be a problem of chatzitza. Each one has to do the tnuf separately. Or rechad meinav ayde kulam. The Gemara says one does the tnuf. You can't have two tnufas, the Gemara says. So. You can't have two tenufas because the pasuk is mashma only one. You can't have them both do tenufa together. It's going to be chatzitza. So the Gemara says, "Bali chabura." If you have a group of people brought a shlomim together, echad meinifai de kulam. The Tosfos wants to know over here: is this a din of chatzitza or not? So they have 2 days. One day is atake. It's not to be taken literally. The kohen has to hold his hands on the side of the basket. It has to be a basket with it, which has a side. So the kohen will hold like this, and the bailam will hold on the bottom, or the bailam will hold on the side, and the kohen will hold on the bottom. You shouldn't take it literally. And the other day in Tesis says, no, that here it's not a chatzitza. That's the din. That the Yad HaBaylam is not a chatzitza between the Yad HaKoyin and the basket. Hashani came by the, this is the way it has to be. Hashani came by Shutfim who bring Shlomim together and they're going to do the Tanufa on the Chaz of Ashoik. So there, one could have brought without the other. You could have had one person bring without the other, so they're unrelated. Over here, that's the halacha. You have to have a coin, you have to have a farmer. You can't have the bikurim without the coin and without the farmer. You have to have two people together. It's 2 days in Tosfos. It's exactly how does one visualize doing the tenufa on the basket of the bikurim. It concludes the Hishtachavisa Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, that you need Hishtachavoya. So the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on the side of Mishnah's Bikurim that's printed in the big Mishnah's, Yochanan Boaz points out that he doesn't think that this is a din that's unique dafke to Bikur. He thinks that this pasuk is required, this din of Hishtachavoya, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, Hishtachavoya in the Yazor, is required of anyone who's nichnas into the Yazor. Because we see Mishnah's Tamid. The Mishnah described the Seder Ayayim every day, that they had this coin open up the gates, and he did this, and he did that, and when they described the whole procedure, what went on every day. So the Mishnah says that everyone who enters the Yazor would always be Mishtachava V'yotza. He would be Mishtachava before he would leave. So the Vilna Gaon asks, where did they get that from? There were psukim that indicate all the dinim, except for the Mishtachava V'yotza. So he says he thinks that it's based on this pasuk, that anyone who enters the Yazor has to be Mishtachava before he leaves the Yazor. Yishtachavoyo in front of Hashem, Yishtachavisa lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Lifnei Hashem Elokecha sometimes has different meanings. Sometimes it means in the Azore, and sometimes it means in the Harabayis, and sometimes it means in all of Yerushalayim, and sometimes it means in New York also. Here in the next pasuk, Yud Gimel, it says, V'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha b'yarti HaKodesh min HaBayis. You should declare in front of Hashem, Vidui Meister. On Pesach of the 4th year and Pesach of the Shemitah. This coming Pesach is going to be, this coming year, Shnas HaShemitah, is a Shnas HaBiur. So there's a Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid on a Din Daraisa. It's very strange. Rambam and Ravid have an original Machlokes, no Mishnayis, no Makot. Just how do you read the Pesach? You are Marta, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Does this Vidui Maisa have to be recited Davke in the Azorah, or not necessarily? Do you say Lefnei Hashem Elokecha in front of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord? That doesn't mean no. In the presence of the Lord means in the Beis Hamikdash, not just to daven, and you're always lifnei Hashem. Machlekes the Rambam and the Rabbi had to read it. When it does refer to a specific place, so then it sometimes refers. And then Hasina points us out. Sometimes it refers davka to Yazara, v'shachat ben abokal lifnei Hashem by shechitas korban. So you can't shecht in the Harabais. You have to shecht davka in the Yazara. And sometimes lifnei Hashem means the Harabais also. Azara or Harabais, for example, says. So the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that on Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah to blow shofar, and on Tainios it's a mitzvah to blow chatzotzois. and you don't blow shofar on a tainus, and you don't blow chatzer to find Rosh Hashanah. But in the Beis Hamikdash, we learn out from that part of Kintilim. That lifnei Hashem, when you're in the Beis Hamikdash, whenever you blow shofar, namely on Rosh Hashanah, you have to accompany it with chatzetzus as well. Whenever you blow chatzetzus, namely on a tainus tzibur, it has to be accompanied with tkiyah shofar as well. Mishnah describes the difference that on a tainus tzibur, where the ikir is the chatzetzus, so the one who blows the chatzetzus stands in the middle, and the two who are blowing the shofar stand on the side. And on Rosh Hashanah, when the ikir mitzvah is really the tkiyah shofar, and the chatzetzus are just to accompany the tkiyah shofar, so then you have the Baal Tekeh blows the shofar stands in the middle, and the two who are blowing the chatzetzus stand on either side of him. The Ran on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, on the Rif, the Ran explains based on another Gemara, where the Gemara says that if three people, Shlosh Hashayim Halchan Badera, three people walking in the street, and one is clearly more choshev than the other two, let's say one is a Talmid Chacham, the other two are not, so the Prophet Derech Eretz requires that the more choshev one should walk in the middle. So here also, that's the way, even though we're not talking about people over here, we're talking about Shofar and Chatzetzus, but on Rosh Hashanah, that's why you have the Shofar in the middle of Chatzetzus and Hatzotah. And the Tainus Tzibur, you have the Chatzetzus in the middle and the two Shofars around the sides. To demonstrate whoever's in the middle is an indication that he's the more important one. Symmetrically set up. Yeah, makes sense. That's how the Mishnah describes. So the Gemara says that some of the Tanoim thought to introduce also Tkiyas Chatzetzus and Rosh Hashanah, Shofar with Chatzetzus. And then they were told that they made a mistake, that dinner, you always bought Tkiyas Shofar with Chatzetzus, that's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo ho yonogim kein elo, the Gemara says, Bamikdash Baharabayim. Because the pasuk in Tehillim reads, "V'chatzetzus v'kol shofar hariyu lefnei HaMelech Hashem, only lefnei HaMelech Hashem." Lefnei HaMelech Hashem means in Beis HaMikdash. So the Menhachina points out, it's interesting. One might have thought that lefnei Hashem means like shachar is ben abakal, lefnei Hashem means in the Azara. So one might have argued the point and thought perhaps you'd only do shofar v'chatzetzus in the Azara. But the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says that they did it in the Har HaBayit as well. And then sometimes lefnei Hashem in the Chumash, the Menhachina points out, sometimes it means the whole Yerushalayim. You don't have to eat the ma'aseh sheni dafki in the Har HaBayis or in the Beis HaMikdash. You can eat it in Yerushalayim. So you see that there, lefnei Hashem, in that context, lefnei Hashem means the whole city of Yerushalayim. Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're speaking about a place. When you say, when the Rambam says that you can recite Vidin Ma'aseh, Vamikdash, Chutz La'Mikdash, because we are ma'aseh lefnei Hashem Akecha. So he takes the word lefnei Hashem means in the state of mind. When you daven, you're also in the lefnei Hashem. So that's a state of mind, that's not a place. But whenever the word lefnei Hashem means a makom, so the makom it's referring to is Beis HaMikdash, except that the Beis HaMikdash has different levels of kedusha, different levels of intensity. So the ikar kedusha HaMikdash is in the Azor, then the Har HaBayis has a little less kedusha HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim has a little less kedusha HaMikdash. So all three are different levels of Beis HaMikdash, of lefnei Hashem. Don't know if it's related. Not familiar. So the Vilna Gaon claims that this pasuk, this pasuk yud is not really specifically a unique din that's only in Hilchas Bikurim. It's really a din in Kol HaNichnasim LaAzara. Whoever enters into the Azara has to be mishtachaveh. Mishtachavoyah is a kiyum in Mikdash. Mishtachavoyah is only a kiyum in Mikdash. It's a din. You're not permitted to be mishtachaveh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Evan Maskis Chutz LaMikdash, only in Mikdash. In Mikdash you are permitted to bow on Evan Maskis, but Chutz LaMikdash you're not permitted to, because Yishtachvoya is a special kiyum in Beis HaMikdash. As Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that in Eastern Europe the minig was that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when the people would kneel in the shul, so he remembered as a child, that a young adult, he remembered that only the men would kneel, the women wouldn't kneel. So the first time in his life he ever saw that the women were kneeling was when he went to Germany. Another Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Woman, told me that he as a child remembered that the women always used to kneel. How did he know? What was he doing in the women's section? So he said he would always go in to get his sandwiches on Yom Kippur to eat when he was a little boy, so his mother would have the sandwich. Finally there was an Erev, and his mother brought the food, so he would always go in, and he would see all the women were laying on the floor. And he said when he came to America, he saw a strange thing, that the women don't bow down. He didn't know what was going on. And so he was shocked when he came to Germany, he saw that the women did bow down. So Rav Soloveitchik said that he got to thinking about it, which is the more correct minig. So he thought that that in the nusach of the davening we say Hakohen Avraham Omdim Ba'Azara Hayikor Mishtachem Modim Nofim Afnei. The text of the Machzor sounds like only the people who were in the Azara. The women were not in the Azara. The Ezra's Noshim only had a Kedushas Har Bais. They didn't have a Kedushas Azara. If they would have had a Kedushas Azara, they wouldn't be allowed to sit down. They would have to stand. Any Yeshiva Bazar, the Malchut Beis Dovel Bavad. When you're in the Azar, you have to be Bamina, unless you have to be a descendant from the Malchut Beis Dovel. And there's this notion they were permitted to sit down because it only had a status of Kedushas Harbais. It didn't have a status of Kedushas Azar. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that if our kneeling down today is a Zecha LeMikdash, he thought that that's probably the reason for the practice in Eastern Europe why the women didn't bow down, because the women in the Beis HaMikdash never bowed down, because it says in the Siddur. It says in the Machzor, the whole special mitzvah Hishtachavoyah is only Hishtachavisa Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and this Lifnei Hashem means in the Azor, it doesn't mean Har Habayis, and it doesn't mean Yerushalayim. The special mitzvah, the way the Zohar Gaon said in his commentary on the side of the Mishnah in Bikurim, that Kol HaNichnasim LaAzor have a mitzvah to be Mishtachav.
According to that, the women should have a violin. I mean,
I don't think so. No. He said that Ishtachavoyah was only the Yikir Kim Ishtachavoyah is in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash means the Azor. So the women. He said the women never bow. Not by Aleinu either.
But the
it's Shaykh by the Seder Avodah also. It's not an Aveir. Just that he said that the meaning was that they didn't. Because in the different parts of the Shul, Amachuvim can argue different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So the men's section is Mechuvim Kenega the Azara. The Paskin have like this. And the women's section is Mechuvim Kenega the Azara's notion. Yeah, but all Ishtachvoya is only a Kila Mikdash. We don't bow down to our Kaddish Baruch Hu at home. We don't kneel on the floor. We kneel in Shul. The minute used to be the Zman HaGemara, when they would say Tachnun, they would kneel on the floor. Pishad Yudayim Ragayim. And today we don't do it anymore. The Gemara Megillah has like that, that they used to kneel on the floor. Today, the Goyim came up with a whole reason why we don't do it anymore. But if the women would say Tachnun every day, the women would say Tachnun in the women's section in the Shul also. The Stamah Bizmana Gemara, they probably also would not kneel on the floor, because the whole Indian of Ishtachvoya is only a Kiyom in Migdash. There is a machlokes harishonim regarding the din of biyarei konis. The din is that if a kohen enters the heichol and he doesn't do an avodah at all, it's a pasuk. Ayavu b'chaleis al hakodesh. He's not allowed to go into the kodesh hakodesh or in the heichol. And if he goes and he doesn't do any avodah, so that's an iser misav de shamayim. I think that's an iser biyarei konis. It's called that he entered into the heichol without any need for it. So there's a machlokes, I think, the Rambam and the Smag. What if the Kohen entered the Heichal and he did Ishtachvoya? He didn't do any Avodas HaKarbonis, he just did Ishtachvoya. Ishtachvoya is a Kiyum in Mikdosh. It's not a special, unique Kiyum in the Heichal or the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's a Kiyum anywhere in the Azor. Ishtachvoya is a Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Smag, because Mishnah points it out on the side of the Rambam. And the Rambam has, in the beginning of Hilchas Bias Mikdosh, he quotes this din of Birei Konis. So the Kesmishta points out this machloikis. Does that remove, if the coin will do a shtachvoy, will that remove the yisur of biyarei konis or not? What is the whole idea behind the mitzvah of avuas ha-bikurim? To bring reishis. In any basis, reishis pri-hadoma. Reishis bikuri amas chotavi beis Hashem alakem. So the Chavis Halvod stresses a lot the inyan of hakoras ha-toiv. That a person has to be makor toiv. All of the chasarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, if a person doesn't have the mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will lose his emunah in the existence of God. But that's why the Torah always requires of us, we should give truma, And all of the matanas, we have to give reishis hagez and b'chor behemetara and petach hamor, all the various nesinas. We have to demonstrate that really everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're giving him ten lo mishaloch, shatov shalchol shalohu. We want to demonstrate that really everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're apotropsim on the rest. So the little that we give is just indicative of the fact that we believe everything belongs to him. The Gemara says you're not permitted to eat anything b'olam hazeh. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem ha'aretz u'maloyo. And if you take something, it's you don't say a bracha, then it's gezel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you permission, if you recognize that it's his, and he gave you permission to take it. Let's say I walk into your home, I walk straight to the refrigerator, I take out the soda and I start drinking. So it's mamash gezel. But if I come in and I say I'm very thirsty, maybe I could have a drink, and say, yeah, please go to the refrigerator and take a drink, take whatever you'd like. Then I take it. So since I request it and I say thank you and I recognize the fact that it's yours and you're giving it to me, so then there's no isik zeila. But if I just barge into someone else's rishus and I take what's there, so that's outright zeila. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that really everything in the world belongs to him. If he was the one who created the whole world, everything is his. Hashem haratzim la tevo yashriva. He gives it to us. If we recognize the fact that it's his and he's giving it to us, and then he'll give it to us. If you don't recognize that, then it's outright gezeila. That's what the Gemara says in Brachas on Daf Lamed Hey. The one who eats, like one who steals. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of commenting during Aseres Meitshuva. He always used to give a drasha for the rabbinical council. So he was fond of mentioning in the davening during Ni'ilah, at the conclusion of the Tfilah San Yom Kippur. So we mentioned in the Tfilah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to do tshuva and to have it act properly during coming year. L'man nechtal miyoshik yadeinu, that we shouldn't continue to do gzeilu. L'man nechtal, the one aver that we single out is oishik. From all the averis in the world, that's oishik, everybody's a bank robber. So how many people do oishik? People that pay maybe income tax, maybe all the people that pay income tax cheat a little bit. Maybe that's what it's referring to. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have any income tax. It's like a pay. No. So what's the Oishik? Should have picked on Lashon Hara? Should have picked on some other Aveir? So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, whenever the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you also belongs to him. So if you use the body for any purpose other than Ratzon Hashem, so that's also Gzeila. If you use your talents, if you use your kishrenes, let's say a person is very bright, very intelligent, very talented, very wealthy, very whatever, artistic, and he can use his art to draw pictures in the art scroll books or in the Jewish press. And instead, he writes, let's say he has literary talents. Instead of writing for art scroll, he writes for the New York Times. So that's a shaila from Zeila. Maybe he should use his talents for avodas Hashem. If he's cut out for that. If a person is very, very bright, so who says that he should go to become a lawyer, a doctor, an Indian chief? Let him become a rav, a talmid chacham, if he's cut out for that. That's also ishik. When a person has talents or money, or he has his body and he uses his body to hit other people, to do averes, whatever, or to speak lashon hara. Lashon hara is also ishik. You're using your lips, you're using your body, you're using your mind for things that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't authorize, for things that he didn't give you permission for. So everything boils down to gzeilah. So that's what the Chovos HaLevavos points out, that all of the mitzvahs that the Torah gives us to give the reishis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the challah with the bikurim, with the truma gdeila, with the pidyon haben, the firstborn son, and the petach hamor, and the b'chor behemah Torah, everything is ingrained within us, this idea that everything really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to express our gratitude towards him. We have to express our hakaras hatoiv towards him, and thereby be kind of what he gives us permission to take. And without recognizing, without mentioning that this belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave us permission to take it, then we're taka oivran gzeila, then the rest doesn't belong to us. The mitzvah of vidui maaser is in conjunction with the mitzvah of Biur. There is a Shas HaBiur. The Shas HaBiur is Erev Pesach. It's interesting, that's what the Vilna Gaon holds, that the only time you recite the Haftarah of the Orva Lashem, the special Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol, so we always say the Orva. Every Shabbos, every time Shabbos before Pesach, we say the Haftarah of the Orva Lashem. And that's what many people say we call it Shabbos HaGadol, because the Haftarah concludes with the Pasuk, Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanayra. That's the closing post, next to the last post, please. So the Vilna Gaon quotes early Rachmanim, the Lavush, I think, who says that the only time you recite that Haftarah is when it's Erev Pesach this year. It's Erev Pesach Shchol Yis B'Shabbos. Because on Erev Pesach of the Erev Pesach of the seventh year and Erev Pesach of the fourth year was the Shas Habir. That's when you had to give everything away to the Kohanim and so on. And at that Haftarah, it says, Avi was called Amaseh Beis HaOtzar. It says that everybody better give away all the Matnas Kunim. They should give everything away. So that was like an announcement that everyone should give everything away before the Shas Habir comes. The Nesivos points out in one place that there is a difference between the din of mitzvah Nesinas Truma and the din of Biur. Nesinas Truma doesn't necessarily require that you should do a kinyan. I don't have to be machna the Truma to the kohen. Let's say I invite the kohen to my home and I put the Truma on the plate and I tell him, this is Truma and you can eat it. I give him permission to eat it. So even if he's not kohen, since I've made it available to him and I made it possible for him to eat it, so that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Nesinas Truma. The Nesivos discusses this in the context of giving Truma to a kohen katan. It says, quote, Akasha from the Prichodosh, how is one in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Nesinas Truma if you give it to a kohen katan? A katan has no kinyan manatar, he's only kohen midi rabbanon. So he gives one answer, and the Prichodosh gives an answer, and the Ketzais HaChodesh doesn't like it, so the Ketzais gives a different answer. And the Nesivos says the whole kasha is not shver. The kasha is based on a mistake. You don't need any answer. And he says, he gave it to the kid. He can eat it. So that's the mitzvah of Nesina. Who says the whole kasha is based on the premise that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Nesina, you have to do an act of kinyan. You have to be machnet to the kohen. So he says that premise is fallacious. There's no such requirement. Either this is a fairish gemara in the first paragraph of Bav Metzia, where the gemara talks about being machnet to the kohen. He says, yeah, that was in conjunction with the mitzvah of biur. That was either the fourth year, the before Pesach of the fourth year, before Pesach of the seventh year. That the Gemara in Bav Metzia quotes from the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva were all on that boat. They were traveling in the Mediterranean. They had gone to Rome to speak to the government, to the Roman government. So on their way back, it was coming Pesach time. And Rabbi Gamliel had a lot of trumas, the Maaseh Rishon and Maaseh Rani, and he was afraid he would be in violation of the dinam of Biur. So he gave it away. That's when they were benching Esrig on the boat. The Mishnah describes all the a few young Tzadikim that were celebrating on this boat. Did a lot of traveling then. They had no airplanes. So the Nesivos says that's when you're interested in fulfilling the mitzvah biur. So then the halacha requires an act of kinyan. You have to be machnet away from yourself, machnet to the kohen. But if you're not interested in the mitzvah biur on the fourth year or on the seventh year, you just want to do the mitzvah Nesinas Truma all year long, the regular mitzvahs. He says that you just make it available to the kohen that he should be able to eat it. So that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Nesina. Nesina doesn't require a haknah. So the Torah requires that at the on Pesach of the fourth year and on Pesach of the seventh year, all of the farmers who had what to give and who fulfilled all of the mitzvahs properly should recite what we call vidui maisa. It's a big problem. Taisis Yantif discusses, why is it called vidui maisa? He brags and he says that he did everything properly. What's the vidui? Vidui usually says, al chesha chaton lefanacha. He says that he did something wrong. You admit, you're misvada. Boy, the misvada, he did something wrong. Here he doesn't say that he did anything wrong. So it's a problem. Okay. Mepharshim talk about this. Sforno has a mahalach, why it's called vidui. People don't realize that Sforno answers the kasha of the Taisis Yantif. Everybody knows the Taisis Yantif on Mishnah, he talks about the kasha. But the Sforno on Chumash already has an answer. But that's what the farmer speaks about. The Yardi HaKodesh Ben Abayis and so on. So one of the things that he says is, the farmer says, Lavatim mitzvasecha v'lo shokhachta. He didn't forget. He didn't forget what? Rashi says, lo shokhachti milavarecha cho'al afrashas maisa. I didn't forget to say the bracha either. That's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Maisa Sheni comments like that on this topic. Lo shokhachti milahaske shimcha cho'alav. So the Rebbe Eliyahu Mizrachi in his commentary on Chumash on Rashi points out the obvious problem. How can that be the pshat in the pasuk? We know that all the brachas are only the rabbanon. Birchas hamitzvah are only the rabbanon. Birchas haTorah we paskin is derais. The Ramban makes a big fuss in the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shagasari that we paskin like the Ramban. The birchas haTorah is a din derais. But all the other birchas hamitzvah are only the rabbanon. So how can the Mishnah interpret like that? What's only an asmachta? not the real pshat in the pasuk. Sounds like it's as if they're making a drasha gemura over here. So there are different mahalchim in this. Mishkenes Yankiv writes in one of his svarim, and the Seifam Brachas that's called Koheles Yankiv. So he writes there in the Koheles Yankiv that although all birchas ha-mitzvah are only midirabbanan, with the one exception of birchas ha-tar, it's not exactly so. He says, bracha is birchas ha-mitzvah, they have to do with it. Yoni Kedusha, we're always noyik from years ago. The pasuk says when Rivka got married to Yitzchak, Eliezer was sort of the shliach lekiddushin, and he was mekadosh Rivka. So it says vayvocha es Rivka vayomer lach asein ata yili alfi ravava. So the pasuk pshat and the pasuk is vayvocha es Rivka. They gave her a blessing; she should have a lot of babies. Ata yili alfi ravava. So the Tesis in the beginning of Ksubis quotes a medrash, I think the Pirkei Rav Lezer, if I'm not mistaken, vayvocha es Rivka, that they recited birchas ha'eris. That's another thing. They gave her a blessing. Vayrochu es Rivka means that they blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with the marriage. Vayrochu es Rivka. Not exactly the grammar, but that's how the Medrash interprets. Vayrochu es Rivka, they blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with the marriage of Rivka. Vayomrlo haseinu atayili alfa Rivka. That was a blessing to Rivka. Two different things. So again, the Mishkan Yankiv says, why was there sounds like the Midrashim are assuming that there was a Birchas Erisin that was practiced Kodem Matan Torah. Don't we assume that all the Birchas HaMitzvah are only with the Rabbanan? So he says, no. It says, Kihu Yivarech Es HaZevach, when Shaul lost the Asonis and he was looking for them, and he came to Shmuel HaNavi, and they told him, go to the Navi, go to the Roya, and he'll tell you where you're missing Asonis are. So they told him, Kihu Yivarech Es HaZevach, they're going to wait for Shmuel to recite the blessing before they're going to eat the korban. What bracha did he say? Shachal ni b'dvar. They said shachal in the days of Shmuel. So he says, no, he said, Hashem Kedushanu b'sotu b'tzivano alachidos ha-zevach, the birchas ha-mitzvah. Our birchas ha-mitzvah is also only the Rabbanu, not Hashem Kedushanu b'sotu was instituted later. So that's Mishkenes Yankiv writes in his paper. He says, all of these brachas, they have to do with the Yoni Kedushanu. Rashas, Trumas and Maisers. Truma, Bikurim has a Kedusha. So Maiser doesn't have Kedusha. Maiser Sheni has Kedusha. Truma has Kedusha. So whenever you Kedushin is a Kedusha, the Gemara assumes that when you get married, there's Kedusha. Eating of the Zevach, Achidas HaZevach, Birchas HaMitzvah, in conjunction with things that have a Kedusha, he suggests that maybe that was a very old practice. Maybe Anachan Ami, the Chiv, to recite it is only Midi Rabbanon, but the practice was an old one. It was a minig that they observed even Kodem Matan Torah to recite Brachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with the mitzvahs that had to do with the Yoni Kedusha. The Malbim suggests a different mahalach on this pasuk. But that was the practice that they all recited it. So he says he did what was required of him and he did what was expected of him. I followed your tzivuyim. I didn't neglect the common practice either. That's how the Mishkenes Yankiv understands. The Malbim understands differently because it's interesting. In the Gemara, there's a Lashem, there used to be Mafresh Challah. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, you have a lot. Yerushalmi on Challah, so I had when they were Mafresh Challah, so they would say, Harezer Truma Lashem Alakol. Mafresh Truma, Mafresh Challah. We don't say that Nusach anymore. Is it Truma Lashem Alakol? We don't mention Shem Hashem. How come? So the Malbim says the din over here is the original Mishnah says Lo Yishachachtim Alahaskir Shimcha Olah. Just Haskaras Hashem. In conjunction with Hafrashas Truma or Hafrashas Bikurim or Hafrashas Chal, you have to mention Shem Hashem. So before they instituted, that's a din, he says. So before they instituted the brachas that you say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashem Kedoshim Son Olah Parashas Truma, so before they mention the Shem Hashem and the Nusach LaBracha, so the practice always used to be that they would mention Shem Hashem and the Kriya Hashem HaRezi Truma LaHashem HaLakol. After they instituted the Bracha, so now there's no longer any need to recite the long text HaRezi Truma LaHashem HaLakol. HaRezi Truma LaHakol. You don't have to say Truma LaHashem, but there is a din there. I say Helo Shachachtem Elohashkir Shimcho. The Gemara says, Lo Shachachti Milavarechacha. Rashi says, yeah, that part is only the Rabbanan. that you should mention the Shem Hashem in conjunction with Afrashas Truma in the form of recital of a bracha. That aspect is only with the Rabbanan. But you should have Haskara Shem Hashem, that the Malbim thinks is really a din derais. The Mishnah in the end of Saita records when they stopped reciting Vidui Maaser, because you only recite the Vidui Maaser if you really fulfilled all of these obligations. I gave the Maaserishin to the Levi, and I gave the Maaserani to the Aniyim. So the Gemara says that the Levim were penalized, because hardly any Levim came back in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, when Ezra came back to build the second Beis Hamikdash. Hardly anybody showed up bichlal, and Bifrat, the Miyuchad, the Levim, was very lucky. There weren't enough Levim to run the Beis Hamikdash. Pesukim say that Ezra had to go back and gather together more Levim. So Ezra Kanas HaLevim, and he said that instead of giving the Maaserishin to Levim, you can give it to the Kohanim. You might have a machlekes whether you can only give it to the Kohanim, or you have an option. Can either give to the Kohanim or to the Levim. But Al Kapanim, it wasn't given, many people were not giving the Maaserishin to the Levim anymore, they were giving it to the Kohanim. Maybe everybody was giving, or some of the people were giving to the Levim. So since you can no longer say, Gam Nesatib La Levi, a lot of people weren't giving to the Levim, so that's when the Mishnah records, in the middle of the period of the Bayis Sheni, they stopped observing Vidui Maaser. You have to still observe the mitzvah of Biur. When it comes to Erev Pesach, you still have to give away all of the Erev Pesach of the 40, Erev Pesach of the 70. You have to give everything away. But as far as the Vidui is concerned, they stopped saying it because they didn't really fulfill everything properly.
The fact that Israel hadn't given to Kohanim based on Israel,
yeah.
That's the case, then you say, God's not to love you still.
The Gemara has there Machlekes HaTanoim from the Akiva of Lozim and Azari. So according to the Tana who holds that Maaserishin and Atara may be either beginning to Kain or to a Levi, because Kohanim are also B'chav Tal B'chav Nikru Kaim Levim, then Ezra's Knas only was that instead of having an option as the Din Min HaTara is to give to a Kohen or to a Levi, you should only give to the Kohen. So to say like that, so then there's really nothing wrong with saying the Snusuk, I'm the Satul La'Levi, he gave it to the Kohen, it was a good thing Min HaTara. According to the other Tana, that's how the Raman Paskins, like the other Tana, that Min HaTorah you can only be Yotze Maaserishin if you give it to a Levi. If you give it to a Kohen, you're not Yotze. That's how the Raman Paskins in the beginning of Hilchos Maaser. I, B'chav Tal, become as Nikra Kohen Levim. Only 24 places, not 25. This is the 25th. No. Okay, you have to understand why. But that's how the Raman Paskins said. Then Ezra's Takana, Ezra's Knas was against the Halacha. So if you do the way Takana says it was, that you may give to the Kohanim, then you're not in fulfillment of the din derais. So perhaps that's the pshat, that's a good point. Perhaps that's the pshat in the Gemara in the end of Saita, that the Gemara says that a certain Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, I think, Hever Hoidoy Asa Maaser. He told the people to stop reciting the Vida Maaser because they can't really say Gam Nesatav La Levi. They weren't really in fulfillment of the mitzvah, the way it was supposed to be. Shamaiti Bikol Hashem Alokoi. Shamaiti Bikol. The Ritam Rishonim had a Nusach Hashem Hashem Sanu L'Shma Bikol Shofar. So the other Rishonim say that that's a mistake. L'Shma Bikol means to obey. Shamaiti Bikol Hashem L'Koi. I have obeyed all the commands that Hashem has given me. We don't obey the sound of the Shofar. L'Shma Kol Shofar. We listen to the sound, to the noise of the Shofar. We don't obey. L'Shma Bikol is to obey. Lishma b'kolo, says again later in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lishma b'kolo. Es Hashem ha'amarto hayom, v'Hashem ha'amircha hayom. It's a hard word. Rashi writes, the verb, la'amir, ein lahem eid machiach la'mikro. We don't know exactly what the word means. But he thinks that it means hafrosha habdolo. Segula, like it says in Pasuk Yud Ches, Hashem Hamircha Hayom Lios Lali Yam Segula, unique that we have singled out Hashem, that He is something unique in the world, is Ein Doim Eloi, and Hashem singled out Bnei Yisrael that we are unique. The Jewish nation is different from all the other nations. It's not that Bnei Yisrael are human beings, and they also keep mitzvahs. No, Bnei Yisrael are supposed to act differently. They should dress differently. They should speak differently. They should think differently. They should rejoice differently. They should mourn differently. Everything should be very different about the Jewish people. That's the segula of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem is different from everything else also. The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga comment on these pesukim. Atem asisuni chativa achas boilam ani yateschem chativa achas boilam. That Bnei Yisrael recite Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We declare that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is unique. Chativa achas boilam means unique from anything else in the world. When we believe in one God, that's the pasuk Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Pshuta Shel Mikra, the Gemara there understands Pshuta Shel Mikra really means Hashem Echad, Hashem is unique. If He's unique, so in the Mele, there's only one God. If there were two, if there were more than one, so He wouldn't be unique, there would be another one. That would be similar. There would be a Tzad HaShav, there would be some a common denominator. But that's not, Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, that's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. According to that, Gemara Chagiga would seem that that's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Hashem Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Pshuta Shel Mikra doesn't really mean that we believe that there's only one God. We believe that God is unique, so in Mele He is one God, but He's more than only one God. There's only one Rabbi Herschel Schechter here in the room, but I'm not unique. I'm a boss of Adam like everybody else. I wear glasses, I wear an avocado, I wear a jacket, everything the same as everybody else. Different nose, different teeth, different, a little different, but basically the same as everybody else, but a little different. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is not the same as everybody else, but just a little different. Legamri different, that's what it means, Sgulo. That's Hamircha, Hamarto, that's Chativ Achas. Hashem Alken, Hashem Echad, Hashem is unique. That's Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned, that there are those who have paidus not to say at the end of the Haggadah, they don't say Echad Mi Yodea. So they have a paidus because they hold it there's a Hashash HaBikursus in reciting Echad Mi Yodea. Because in Echad Mi Yodea you say there's one, and there's two, and there's three, and there's four, and there's five, you go all the way to the number 13. So he's saying Hashem Echad, that there's one God. Echad Alken, Hashem Hashem Echad. So he's saying as if Hashem Alken, Hashem Echad means one God. So we don't believe in that. What do you mean? We believe that there's more than one God. No, we believe that Hashem Echad means more than that there's only one God. We believe that it means much more than that our religion is a monotheistic religion. We believe that God is so different from everything else in the world. It's not just that, let's say, a woman gave birth to a baby, and it happened to be that baby was God. He's not a human being. And he happened to be God. What do you mean? He had a lot of unusual properties. It's a little funny. We believe that God is l'mayla mikol ha'sog es b'niyadim. He's so different from anything else that we ever saw. It's not like every person in the classroom is different. Everyone is unique. So might say every person is unique also, in a certain sense, because no two people are the same. The Midrashim speak about this. But that's what the pasuk says. As Hashem Hamarta Hayom, Hashem Hamir Hayom. The Jewish people are supposed to be very different. It's very unfortunate that the Nevi'im complain about the fact that the Jewish people always wanted to not to be unique. They didn't want that burden of being unique. Nia k'chol ha'goyim basis, so they wanted to be like all the other goyim. That's what, unfortunately, many of the political leaders in Medinas Yisrael, when the government was founded, they were interested also in establishing a government that everything should be like all the other nations in the world. They should have sports, they should have everything the way everybody else has. Movies, magazines, everything the way, same way everybody else has. That whole attitude is a terrible, unfortunately, that's a terrible attitude. So the Torah tells us, Hashem Hemir Chayom, Lias Lo Liyam Segula. Everything is supposed to be different by us. Supposed to have magazines, Beshitzchot. Supposed to have... Want to have a university? Yeshiva University. Not Goyish, not Hebrew University. Yeshiva. It's different. Hebrew University is very different from Yeshiva University. Everything is supposed to be different. Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Bnei Yisrael that when they cross over the Yarden, Vayisav Moshe b'zikni Yisrael's kol ha'om lema, he knows he's not going to cross over the Yarden, so he's telling him that when you cross over, v'hakimos ha'lucha avonim g'dolus v'sarat ha'os ma'asid, and they should write kol ha'torah kulos, kol dibi ha'torah ha'zois, ani avonim. וחשפתו על העבון מסקולדו ביותר זאת בער היטב. מה זה בער היטב? רשי ראית בשיבים לושן. What do they have to write the whole Torah b'shivim lashon for? So the Gemara in Saito says obviously they were interested in all the Umas Oilam reading the whole Torah. They wanted them to read it, that they should see what we have to offer them. Aye, but the Gemara has it in that a goy is not permitted to learn Torah. A goy is only permitted to learn Noshim and Ezekin. Seven mitzvahs, the two. Gemara says there are a lot of them. That's what I say jokingly. Where does the practice come from in the yeshivas that we spend so much time in the yeshivas in Europe? They used to spend so much time on learning Noshim and Zikin. That's the carryover from yeshiva Shem V'Yever. Shem V'Yever, they were only allowed to learn Noshim and Zikin. They couldn't learn Kotshim and Taurus and Zeraim and Moed. That's not Sheva Mitzvahs the two. But Arayas and Zikin and Gezel and Dinim, that's the Birchas Hashem, that's the Sheva Mitzvah in Erech. So the meaning was, Angetit from the days of Shem V'Yever. So they keep on learning Noshim and Zikin. In Balazhan they learned everything. They learned from Brachas to Nida. They gave Shema everything. They didn't only concentrate on Noshim and Zikin. So that's the question over here. What do you mean? They wrote Kol Dibat Terezes, not only Noshim and Zikin, not only Shem and Mitzvah. They wrote Kol HaTerah Kula Bayer Heiteh B'Shivim Loshen, that the Umas Olam should read it? How were you permitted? The Gemara says it's an Isur Mifnei Iver. The Gemara says you're not allowed, a Jew is not permitted to teach Torah to the Goy. So how can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu commands them that they should write Divrei HaTorah says Bayer Heiteh B'Shivim Loshen? Is that a problem? So the Svida Yesh has a tshuva about this. He discussed, of course, the Rishonim and Achronim discussed. He used to give the Daf HaShavua, so they still give the Daf HaShavua in Yiddish on WEVD. And then they switched, and there was a while that they had in Yiddish and in English. I don't know if they still have. So when they started having in English, there was a big discussion among the Rabbanim whether that was permissible or not, because some, if it's in Yiddish, so on. There weren't that many going with it. There are going to understand Yiddish. All going on the east side, they all know Yiddish. But just some of them weren't going to listen to the Daf HaShavua. The question, you got to have it in English. So maybe a lot of going, maybe some going will tune in and listen to the Daf HaShavua. So maybe you'll be in violation of teaching Torah to the non-Jews. I guess they decided that there aren't so many Jews who listen. So, Kavachana, there aren't going to be too many going listening. Whatever, they decided that it's permissible. But that's the Shiloh, that's what the Sridi Yesh discusses. So he quotes that the Rados and Maritz Chayes has this discussion also on Saita, that perhaps Torah Shebichtav is Mutah. Perhaps there's no Isur on teaching Torah Shebichtav. What does Moshe Rabbeinu mean the next Pasuk in Tes? Pasuk Tes. Hayoyim hazeh nehiyeh sol yom. Today you have become a nation. Mazeh. What happened today? Rashi quotes from the Chachamim, "B'chol yom v'yom yiyu b'enecha kilo hayom basa imo b'bris." We should feel every day the excitement as if we just entered into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shver p'tukim. Pasuk has later. "V'nosam Hashem lachem leiv v'adat v'naim l'rotz v'adam l'shmoya ad hayom hazeh." Hazeh, ad hayom hazeh. After the Teichach. It's in Pasuk Gimel and Perek Chav Tes. Mazeh Adayim Mazeh. Rashi quotes a whole Medrash. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has a different comment on this Pasuk. Adayim Mazeh. This was the end of the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them Torah from the days of Maimon HaSinai until the end of his career. For 40 years he was a Rosh Hashiva, and then he was about to die. So he says after 40 years of teaching them, he finally succeeded in explaining to them. So the Gemara says, "Ein on a moment al das rabbi, ela ad la'acha mem shana." It takes 40 years to understand what the Rebbe is saying. If you learn by the Rebbe for 40 years, then after 40 years you'll understand. So that's what he says, "V'nasa Hashem l'chem l'ila al-daz v'naim l'os v'naim l'shmoya adayim azeh." The Gemara has a psadin, it's problematic, because it has problems. The Gemara has a din that a Talmid Chacham shouldn't paskin until he's 40 years. 40 years what? 40 years old? But he's been learning 40 years. So Taisa says, it doesn't mean 40 years old, then Avoy Medina. It has nothing to do with that. It means 40 years after he started learning Pashuk Pshat. And in other places it's taken as if it means 40 years old. That's a problem. Taisa is not too sure how to deal with that. But it's based on this. That's what we call the Tzurva Midrabbanan. Tzurva Midrabbanan means a young Talmid Chachamim. I mean, how young is he? It means he's younger than 40. Younger than 40 is called the Tzurva Midrabbanan. If he's older than 40, he's a Talmid Chachamim. Who Midrabbanan? A Tzurva Midrabbanan means if he's really sharp, means before the age of 40, before the age of 40, so that's something unusual. That's why Rashi writes on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It says the din of Zokin Mamre is Chayiv Misa, if he passes against the Bez Nagov, only applies if he is a person who's qualified to issue a psak, and now he's issuing a psak against the Bez Nagov. What if the guy doesn't have smicha at all? What if he's not a Talmud Shahira? No one's going to listen to him anyway. Well, he writes for the Hamavastan. So what? So that's called, he writes against the Bez Nagov. So that's called Zokin Mamre. He writes whatever he wants. No one listens to what it says in the newspapers anyway. If he's some famous rabbi and he's Roy Lohi Roy, and then he gives a psak against the Bez Nagov, so then he'll have a din of a Zokin Mamre. So what's the definition of a Talmud? Talmud Shahar. So the Rama writes Talmud means one who doesn't have smicha. The one who has smicha is entitled to an opinion. One who doesn't have smicha, it's not called a psak, it's not called Lohi Roy. And Rashi apparently doesn't think so. Rashi probably understands that smicha is not a din in paskening, smicha is a din in bezden. But he's not talking about a bezden, he's talking about paskening against the bezden agorot. So you don't have to be a member of a bezden, so why should you have to have smicha? So on that mishnah, when it says Talmud Shohera is potter if he paskens against the bezden agorot, nimtza chumra kula, because his aveir is so much worse, that's why he's off the hook. He's potter from misa, because he's not entitled to an opinion anyway. No one's going to listen. So Rashi writes, if he's not 40 years old, as it says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, based on this pasuk, then until the age of 40, you're not supposed to pasuk. I think Gemara asks, but there were certain people who, the rabbi, I think, who died at the age of 40. He died at the age of 40, so he gave all his pesukim in one day. Yeah, everything rabbi said, he all gave on one day, on his birthday. He was paskening obviously for a couple of years before he was 40 years old. So the Gemara says that was different because he was in a community where the other people were not as great as yours. He happened to be the greatest one in that community. But if a person is in a community where there are other rabbonim who can pasken all the shas, and he's less than 40, so the Gemara has a din that he's not allowed to pasken. That's how Rashi understands that Mishnah. Talmud Shohei Rapatur Nimtza Chumra Kulai. That the Talmud means one is before the age of 40. There are a lot of things tackled. That even if the Rebbe was such a gewaldige gebal mazman, the Talmud is a gewaldige gebal kishrin, but sometimes it does take 40 years till it seeps in. So you fully understand what the Rebbe was talking about. Then we have two krisis brisen that are mentioned in today's Seder. One is the brachas that close at Hagrizim and Haregel. And one is the brachas and klavos of the teichecha. The brachas and klavos of the teichecha was the krisis bris, as it says in the concluding pasuk. Eile dibri habris, ashatziv Hashem. That's the last pasuk in Perek Chof Ches. Eile dibri habris, ashatziv Hashem is Moshe lichros as bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav. Melvad habris u'shakaras itam bichorev. Chorev is Har Sinai. The brachas and klavos in Bichul Kaisai, Rashi says that the bris, that this is referring to Melvada bris, in addition to the Krisis bris at Har Sinai, the Teichecha and Bichul Kaisai was recited at Har Sinai. So this was the second Krisis bris. And this one, the Brachas Eklolos at Hagriz Maharevel, after they crossed over the Yarden, that was the third Krisis bris. What was the need for three Krisis bris? Why wasn't everything covered with one? This is our question. So the answer, Al Pi Pashta, seems to be in next week's Sedrit, when it says, Lo Yitchem Levatchem Enechika Reisus Habris Hazos Vesa'ola Hazos. This Krisis Bris that I just spoke of in Kisavoy is not only with the people who are living today, Lo Yitchem Levatchem, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Perek Chav Tes, Ki Es Asher Yeshna Po Imanu Ha'emin Ha'yam Lefnei Hashem Elokein Reis Asher Inen Po Imanu Ha'yam. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Afim Doros Ha'asidim Lios, that this Krisis Bris in Kisavoy that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, Avos Moav, covers all of the future generation. The fact that we today are obligated to observe mitzvahs is not really because of the bris at Har Sinai. That bris was only with the people who were present at that time. We today are the Doros HaSidim Lavoi. So the Gemara Rashi here quotes the Gemara Shavuos, that our obligation to observe mitzvahs HaTorah today stems from the second krisis bris that was made in Avos Moav by Moshe Rabbeinu. Perhaps that's the reason why there's a shinui lashon between the bris and b'chol kaisai and the bris in kisavai. The bris in b'chol kaisai is written. The Gemara points out the bris in b'chol kaisai is written b'lashon rabbi. B'chol kaisai teleichu. It's also tishmayru throughout from the beginning to the end. B'lashon rabbi. And this is written b'loshan yachad heita lecho b'chol shiorecho, everything v'achal to, everything is in the singular. The Gemara points that out. What is the significance of singular versus plural? So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, based on a comment that the Gemara has by Sfira Soimer, it's a sifrein the Gemara has by Sfira Soimer, it says shiva shivas tispa lo. So that sounds like it's only bibezin. If it's written in the singular, it sounds like it's only bibezin. Talmud Loimar, it says Uspartem Lachem, Machas HaShabbos, the plural indication Tesfir L'chol Echad V'yechad. So the Vilna Gaon says, what do you see from that? There are two parshiyos of Sfiras, one in Amor and one in Re'eh. So one is written Meloshen Yochid, one is written Meloshen Ram. The one that's written Meloshen Yochid, if you would have only had that parsha, you would have said that the mitzvah of Sfiras is only Mutelas on the Bez Nagol. Sfiras is a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael. When it's written Meloshen Yochid, it's a mitzvah for the whole Klal Yisrael to fulfill as a nation. How do you fulfill that as a nation? The Bez Nagol represents Klal Yisrael, so they'll count Sfiras Haimer. Like the Bez Nagol has to make Kriyas Haluach, they make Kiddush HaChodesh and Iber Hashana, so you would have thought that Sfiras Haimer is a function of Kriyas Haluach. That's what the Ravid writes and it's Pirush on the Torah Kohanim on Parshas Bahar. So I would have thought that the mitzvah of Sfiras Haimer is only on Bez Nagol. So now that it says Sfartem Lachem in the plural, we darshan shetei Sfiro L'chol Echad V'yechad, that it's a Chavis HaYochid. So the Gro claims that this is so throughout Chumash, that whenever something appears B'loshen Yochid and B'loshen Rabim, so when it appears B'loshen Yochid, it's speaking to the Tzibur, or to the Bezin, is representing the Tzibur, it's speaking to one body, or to one, sometimes to one person. But if it's a mitzvah that's more than one person, then it's speaking to the whole Klal Yisrael as one unit, or to the body of the Bezin HaGol. And when it appears B'loshen Rabim, then it's referring to Kol Yochid Yochid. So maybe that's exactly the difference over here. Maybe the Krisa's Bris at Har Sinai was made with individuals. With those individuals that were there at that time. So that's why it's written Balosh and Rabbi. It's a Bris with Kol Echad V'Yechad. Masheni came the Krisa's Bris here. And Arbis Mai was made with the Tzibur as a whole. And that's why it includes even the Doros HaSidim, because it's one big Tzibur, one big nation of the Father Israel, the past and the present and the future. Everybody's included in that Tzibur. So that's why it says, "Lo yitchem levatchem anochi koreis kimas asher yesh nafa veis asher enen po yimano ayim el ayom." Everybody is included because this second Krisa's Bris is written b'loshen yachid. What does it mean b'loshen yachid? That it's a bris with the whole tzibur. The whole tzibur includes all the daras habayim. But the Gemara draws another distinction. That what? The Gemara says that the original Kabbalah Satara was Bal Karchem, yeah. So they had to repeat it again. I don't know. It's a Shveri Gemara, because it said Nasu Nishma. Taisus asks. So we don't fully understand exactly what's going on. I remember Mendel Zaks told us that the Chafetz Chaim never understood that. All the answers, he said, Taisus Takashe. He said he wasn't Gervis all the answers. He said, what do you mean? He said, they have a Manasseh and Ishmael. So what do you mean? It's Kafal and Harki Gigas. That's Tosis Kashu. He said, the Chafetz Chaim said he didn't understand fully what's going on. I don't know. But the Gemara draws another distinction between the two Krisa's Bris. That the Bris in Vayikra is Moshe Mipi Agvura speaking. And the Bris in Kisavai is Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amora. What exactly does that mean, Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amora? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, this is already al derech ha-chassidus, this shteitna chassidus shesvar, that Chumash Dvarim is different from the other four Chumashim. The Gemara has al-pidin, it's different. The opening sugi in the beginning of Yevamos, the Gemara says that in Kol HaTorah Kulo, from Bereishis through Bamidbar, there's a machlokes ha-tanan vadi darshan smuchim. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's a hekesh. If you have two dinim written one pasuk next to the other, that's called smuchim. So hekish everybody holds it. Smuchim is a machlekes hatanaim. We're viewed in the Rabbanah where they darshan smuchim. But in Mishnah Torah and Chumash Dvarim, everybody holds the darshan smuchim. Why? So the Gemara gives you reasons why. So So you already see from the Gemara that Mishnah Torah is something different. In the opening Tosis in Gittin, Tosis in the beginning of Gittin, everybody knows that how many when you write a get, the meaning is that you write 12 lines, because get is gematria, gimel tes is 12. And then Tosis says, well, why should it taka be so? Why 12 lines? So they say, because it says, because of law, sefer krisus. Sefer krisus means how many lines do you have in between Bereshis and Shmos? How many blank lines do you have? Four. The Gemara says that then you have to have four blank lines. How many lines between Shmos and Vayikra? Four. Between Vayikra and Bamidbar is four. So you have four, four, and four is 12. So that's called the Kasavala Sefer Krisis. He writes for his wife, I get with the number of lines as the blank lines in between. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. This is what Tosis calls, that's what people say. As the number of lines that appear, Sefer Krisis, that separate the various Svarim of the Chumash. But what about between Bamidbar and Dvarim? Tosis says, no, that doesn't count. Dvarim is different. Dvarim is, what do you mean Dvarim is different? So in the Chassidish Svarim they say, because Dvarim is Torah Shabbat Peh. What is Torah Shabbat Peh? Torah Shabbat Chassam. You have a Sefer Torah, it's missing Dvarim. It's a missing? Yeah, but at the Dvarim, Moshe Rabbein is stressing more, because he says, Bayer Heite. That's what it says in the beginning. In Pasuk Hei, in the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, Hoel Moshe Bayer Es HaTorah Azos Lemar, he's explaining everything Bayer Heite. He's trying to give over the Masorah of the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that the role of Moshe Rabbeinu was different when he gave over the Torah Shebichsav as opposed to when he gave over the Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving over the Torah, the Rabban Shalom gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael via a sarsur. A sarsur means, let's say, instead of buying from the merchant himself, the merchant has an agent and the agent sells it to me. So the Torah was given via sarsur. The Rabban Shalom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and he should transmit it to us. What did he do that for? In order that we should know that when we do Kriya Satera, the Gemara says we have to do the same. That you have to have somebody, a Gabbai has to stand next to the... Why does the Gabbai stand next to the Balkore? To decide which aliyahs to give out. What if the Balkore is a genius and he can figure out whom to give the aliyahs to? You can't, you're afraid, Ein Malach Echad Oysen Shtei Shlichiyos. He can't concentrate. It's so difficult to concentrate. Maybe it is. But let's say he's a super genius and he can concentrate on the Kriya Satara with the Gabbais at the same time. And he can say the Mishaber so he doesn't have to go through the Aliyah while the Gabbai is saying the Mishaber. He doesn't need a pause. So is it okay if you don't have a Gabbai? So the Gemara says, no, you must have a Gabbai. It has to look as if somebody is giving the Torah to the Balkara who's giving it to us. You have to have someone else. Just like the Torah was given Ayde Sarsur, so too, Moshe Rabbeinu was the source between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. He was the intermediary, he was the middleman. So too, the Torah has to be given Ayde Sarsa. So in that sense, Moshe Rabbeinu is described as a Sarsa, as Rav Soloveitchik said, in giving over the Torah Shel Bichsav, he's a Sarsa. Sarsa means, you want to sell real estate, so I'm the agent. So I'm going to sell the house. The people don't even have to know who's selling the house until they get to signing the papers. So the Sarsa is just the salesman. He just he takes the object and he advertises it and he sells it and he gives it over to the customer and he takes the money. And the Torah Shebal Peh, Rav Soloveitchik thought Moshe Rabbeinu probably would not be described as a Sarsa. Because there it's different. The Gemara in the Dorm Daf Lamed Ches has an expression that originally the Torah Shebal Peh was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he gave it over to Bnei Yisrael. So it's not that it was given to him to give to Bnei Yisrael, the exact same thing. He absorbed it into his personality. Torah Shebal Peh, the person identifies, the person's being identifies with the Torah Shebal Peh, becomes part of him. And then, after it becomes part of him, then he sort of has a... he transmits his neshama, he transmits his way of thinking to the Talmidim. A mystical concept. Rav Soloveitchik has this barichas written up in his one of his essays. I forget already which one. I think it's in the Yishalof. It's one of the others in that volume, in the book with the Yishalof, probably Bikashta Misham. So he says there's a difference. When the Rebbe transmits the Torah Shebal Peh, so he's transmitting, is like his dapkus of the neshamas. The Rebbe's neshama has a union, becomes united with the Talmud's neshama, and that's the way he transmits the Torah Shebal Peh. That's why the Rebbe has very few Talmidim to whom he can transmit. Even though he says Moshe Rabbeinu had everybody, he was teaching everybody, but the Rambam writes in the Yarach HaZaka, like Moshe Kibbutz Torah Messina Mitzrayim Yoshua. Only Yoshua? He had a few million people there. He was giving shiur for 40 years to everybody, but that is Mitzrayim Yoshua. And then when the Rambam writes further, the Rambam writes Mitzrayim Yoshua, and Yeshua gave it to Pinchas. What do you mean Yeshua to Pinchas? Pinchas was there when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the shiur. He was in the same class with Yeshua. Why do you say that Pinchas got the Masara from Yeshua? So that's where Rav Soloveitchik explained that when a Rebbe is transmitting the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's not like he's a sarsur, like he's on the side, the salesman in the store, and the merchandise is over there, and he just cons you into buying it. He tells you how beautiful it is, and how inexpensive it is, and how he tells you how the layaway plan, whatever, not just the sarsur. And the Torah Shebaal Peh, Moshe Rabbeinu, and every Rebbe has to receive it himself, and has to become part of his personality, and then he transmits a chunk of his personality, transmits a chunk of himself to his Talmidim. So how many Talmidim can be Zoich? Even Moshe Rabbeinu had a few million Talmidim, men, women, and children, everybody. The only one he can really fully relate to was Yeshua Ben Nun. And then Yeshua Ben Nun was able to relate, to transmit Hakol Bakol Mikol to Pinchas. Pinchas, true, Hirsch, he was in the same class with Yeshua Ben Nun, learning by Moshe Rabbeinu, but he didn't really get that Masara from Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't have such his dapkus for some reason or another. In order to have such a relationship, the Talmud has to be mevatel himself a lot. Usually the student who's a little more bright will not be so mevatel himself to the Rebbe. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik used to be fond of quoting a medrash. I don't know how to yamiz, I don't know where this medrash is. He used to quote a medrash that says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, kach lechos Yeshua ben Nun, and you should appoint him. So the Medrash has a discussion, why Yeshua ben Nun, why not the others? So Rav Soloveitchik quoted that it says in the Medrash that the others were sharper than Yeshua. I don't know exactly where that line says. He says the others were sharper than Yeshua. So sometimes sometimes that's exactly the reason why the one who's sharper, the one who's brighter, is not prepared to be mevatel himself to the Rebbe. I remember when I was a student learning Rav Soloveitchik Shir, so there was one fellow who was older than me. I won't mention his name, some of you may know him. He's not here in the yeshiva. He's in a different business, but some of you may know. So he was older than some of the others, and he was very bright. He used to have his own original ideas before he came into Shia. So when he wrote his notes, he would write in his notes from the Rav Shia. In Hebrew, he kept notes. So he'd write, the Rav said Dvar Metelem on this Gemara. And then when the Rav would say what he said, so he said, the Rav said what I said. He made up his mind in advance. He was a very bright guy. So he made up his mind in advance what the pshat was. Most of the other students didn't have any ideas as to how to interpret the Gemara, and we came in completely blank, and we were prepared to listen to what the Rebbe had to say. That's very difficult. The more a person is kafuf to the Rebbe, so the more he'll pick up from the Rebbe. So perhaps that's takahi hanasenis. Perhaps that's the reason why Pinchas was not mekabel the masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. He was there in class together with Yeshua ben Nun, and maybe he was even sharper than Yeshua ben Nun, if such a medrash exists. Maybe at that time he realized that he has to, in order to receive the Masura, he has to be kofuf to the Rebbe. Sometimes a person is brighter can be kofuf to one who is less bright. Usually it doesn't happen. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe that's the pshat of it. Maybe that's the reason why you darshan smuchim chumash dvarim. Because chumash dvarim is a Rosh Hashiva giving a shiur. The other chumashim is like Torah Shebichtav, and this was transmitted in the form of Torah Shebaal Peh. And perhaps that's what it means, Moshe Mipiyatzmo Amaroi, that he's saying over Torah Shebaal Peh now. It became Torah Shebichtav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to include this in the chumash, but perhaps that's what that means, that this is in contrast to the other chumashim, where Moshe Rabbeinu only served as a sarsur, and here he's not as a sarsur. A sarsur means one just takes the merchandise from the sales, from the owner, and he transmits it to the customer. He sells it, he delivers it to the customer, the middleman. He was a little different. He wasn't just a middleman over here. He absorbed the Torah Shebaal Peh into his personality, and then he transmitted a big chunk of his personality to his Talmidim, Kol Echad Ve'echad, Kefi Madrei Gosen.
First of all, you must ask why, my time it says, in Gosen,
Mucha Hamucha, yeah.
So it seems like it's really not.
Gemara seems to give a different explanation.
It's not unique to Dvarim, it's just the
it happened to be. I agree. I don't understand this exactly. The Gemara seems to give a different reason why you darshan smuchim and chumash dvarim as opposed to the other four chumash. I don't know.
Why is this the reason for darshan smuchim? The fact that it's more fit closer to darshan peh. Why is that reason?
That when he was giving the shiur, when you give Torah Shebichtav, so you give the way that Rabbanu Shalom gave the dinim at different times. When he's giving a shiur, so there must have been some connection, must have been some link between each thing that he said. He was standing and giving a whole shiur. So that's why we assume that each pasuk must have some ritzifus, must have some hemshechius with the previous pasuk. So al kopanim, we know that there were two krisis bris. The first krisis bris seems like it was only with the yechidim who were there at Har Sinai, and the second krisis bris says from Parshas Nitzavim. That was with the tzibur, that was with the including the Doras HaSidim also. So the Matrix thought maybe also the first Krisis Bris was on Torah Shabbat Chassav B'Iker, and the second Krisis Bris was on Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara says that the Iker Krisis Bris, Lakosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bris HaMisrael, El Al Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara comments in Gittin Dav Samach on the Pasuk in the Yen of Parshas Kisisa. That was on Torah. So Leitchik thought maybe that's also involved over here. Maybe the Krisis Bris in Bechuk Kaisa was only on Torah Shabbat Chassav, and this was on Torah Shabbat Peh. This is a very Chassidish Zachman. I don't know. What was the third Krisis Bris? What was the need for a third Krisis Bris? I remember Rav Soloveitchik said maybe the Pshat is like this, that to have a Bris made with Bnei Yisrael. Why didn't he make the first Bris with Bnei Yisrael? Why didn't he make the first Bris at Har Sinai with the Tzibur? So there wouldn't be a need for a second Bris. How come the first Bris was only made with Yechidim? So the answer was that there was no Tzibur yet. You can't have a nation if they don't have a national homeland. They only got their homeland when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Gemara has a din that Nicholas Lonel Vanedo Adolam Lasas Kaldivia Terrazos, the principle of Koysal Araven Zebezer, that's the last Pasik and Perik Choftes in the middle of Nitzavim, that din of Koysal Araven Zebezer only began, there in the Kudus on the Oisius on 11 letters, to indicate that the din of Arvus only began Meshav Yisrael Asayard, before they crossed over the Yard, before they had a national homeland. So there was no nation. You can't have a nation when they're floating around. We are now in the state of a nation because we all still relate to Eretz Yisrael as our national homeland. But before they crossed over the yard, and they didn't have. So the Krisis Bris for the Tzibur, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it in Eretz Yisrael. But he wanted also that it should be made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that can't be, because Moshe Rabbeinu was punished and he had to stay in Chutz Lartz. He was going to die, he was going to be buried in Chutz Lartz. So the second and the third Bris passed were really a Hemshech. The third was really a Hemshech of the second. The second was the beginning, and the third was the Gemar. The second was the beginning, it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the third was done by Yeshua ben Nun, his Talmud. He instructs Yeshua ben Nun in the scheme that they should continue to complete the bris when they cross over the Yarden. So it's really a completion of the same bris. It's not really a different bris. When the Gemara says, Meshav Yisrael as a Yarden, that's when the din of Kodesal Reb Zebizeb began. The Achrenim write like that, not just Rav Soloveitchik. Other Achrenim write like that also. It doesn't just mean Meshav Yisrael as a Yarden. It means after they entered into the bris at Hagrizm and Harevel. That's what it means. It was on the same day. But it wasn't the minute they walked over the yard and they had to have the Krisis Bris, that was after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Then they entered into a Krisis Bris. That's what cemented their status as a tzibur. Middle of this long teichicha, it says in Pasuk Samachalav, Gam kol cholav v'chamaka shaloi kosu b'sefer terezas, yalim alem, yalim Hashem alecha ad hi shomdo. Not only what's written here, even what's not written here. The Jewish people have seen all kinds of torturous persecutions. Gas chambers, all the things from the Nazi war. Nothing is described here. There's nothing compared to what the Jewish people have seen. But everybody says that there's a medrash that says Gam kol cholav chokmakav shalakos v'sefer terazos. That refers to Zumisus Tzadikim. That refers to Mises Tzadikim. So people ask different gedolim, where's that medrash written? Nobody knows where it is. So one of the gedolim wrote Zeh hamedrash egamkin makav shalakos v'sefer. It's not written anywhere. There is no such medrash. There's no such medrash. And they have a list. The Reish Rav, Rav Aaron Levine, Zechon Levrach, was killed by the Nazi. He has a list in his sefer of the mamorim and pesgamim and medrashim that people say popular statements that don't really appear anywhere. Some of them appear approximately in print in certain spots, but others don't appear at all. This is one of them. Zumisit Tzadikim, so they claim that there is no such manush. This week we continue with the Shev de Nechemta. So the Navi promises us that a Nechama will be forthcoming. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us all back into Eretz Yisrael, and everybody's going to come. It didn't happen yet. Bai Shein is clearly not referring to the Bai Shein. Didn't happen then. It's in the process of happening. And he concludes the Nevuah by saying Beito Achishenu, the closing pasuk. Beito Achishenu. So the Gemara says in Baba Basa that Beito Achishenu is referring to the two zmanim of the Geula, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his man Beito when he plans to bring the Geula to Klal Yisrael. And sometimes if Zachu, it'll be Achishenu. He can hasten the Gula before that Zman. And even if it's Loi Zachu, the Gula is going to come anyway, Be'ito, when the Zman comes. And the Gemara draws in Chelek, the Gemara in the last parak and said, and draws other distinctions also between the two forms of Gula, whether it'll be Be'ito or it'll be Achishenu. So one of the distinctions is that if it'll be Achishenu, that'll be with Nisim and Aflois, Oisim Ups and Mamas, something absolutely supernatural, like people flying in the air. And if it'll be Be'ito, if it won't be Achishenu, that'll be Ani V'Roich Ebalach Hamar. That'll be B'derech HaTeva. But just because you don't see a Gula coming with Nisim and Aflois and Oisim Ups, it doesn't mean that it's not a Gula. The Gemara is the Gemara. Unless the Gemara were Apikurs. But if the Helge Amorim were not Apikurs, so they said that there are two Gulas. It could be either Be'ito or it could be Achishenu. So if it's going to be Achishenu, it's going to be Heis and Zachu, then it's going to be like shooting stars. And if it's going to be Be'ito, then it's going to be Ani V'Roich Ebalach Hamar, Shvach. That's what many comment, that it looks like it's going to be Be'ito. We don't see any shooting stars. We don't see a government with all of its problems like all the other governments in the world. Ramban in his Sefer HaGula wrote a little kuntris on the Golas and the Geula, suggests that the two Teichuches perhaps correspond to the two different Golios. Other Rishonim have the same idea, some say the reverse of the Ramban, but the more popular version is the Ramban. He suggests that maybe the Teichuches in the Chukosai corresponds to the Golas Bovel, which was for 70 years ago, and then it was over. Then it was over with. And the end of the Teichach in Bechukais, it says, we're going to return back to Eretz Yisrael. And the Teichach in Kisavo is a reference, corresponds to the present Golos Edom, that it ends, it's endless. It keeps on going and going and going. And then the next week, it says that Baruch Hashem is going to bring us back into Eretz Yisrael. But the Teichach itself just keeps on going miserable. There's no end in sight. You see, it comes to an end, and it says everything that they knew in advance that it was going to be over in 7 years. They're going to build the second Beis Hamikdash. And here, the second Teichach has no end in sight. We don't know when the third Beis Hamikdash will be. Whatever it is, that's special Takanas Ezra, that we should lay in the Teichach in Kisova before Rosh Hashanah. The Teichach says the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We should lay in the Teichach in Bechukaisai before Shavuos, they says also. The second Shabbos before Shavuos, not the Shabbos immediately before. So this week we lay in Kisava, it's a double Kiyum HaMitzvah. It's the regular Parshas HaShavua, and it's the fulfillment of the Takana Ezra to lay in the Teichicha before Rosh Hashanah. Igmar says the reason for the Takana was that Tich L'Shana B'Kiv L'Seh, Tach L'Shana B'Chaseh. We should hope that there should be some. We have any graduate students here in mathematics interested in teaching math and Breuers? There's a school here in the neighborhood that's called Breuers. So they have an